Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week. Yeah. Really want people to be interested in listening to this radio broadcast and calling in on 218-339-8525. But in lieu of people being interested and or calling in, I have articles to read. All right. Here's one for you. Key loses plot in Labour poking fun. Albeit briefly, John Key lost the plot in Parliament yesterday. The Prime Minister could not remember the question Labour's David Cunliffe had asked him moments earlier when Key recalled the relevant portfolio something to do with Labour. He started talking about completely different legislation to that which Cunliffe had referred, and the Prime Minister has not lost his marbles. He was, in his words, having just too much fun at Labour's expense to worry about the subject matter of the questions. Now, if you're in a schoolyard, you know, this is basically the kind of guy that our Prime Minister is. Oh, I'm just having too much. I'm having too much fun abusing my political colleagues in order to even keep up with the subject matter. I don't know. I got detention for doing things like that when I was in high school. I don't know. Maybe the Prime Minister should get detention too. Like in Guantanamo Bay. Two of the contenders, Cunliffe and Grant Robertson, took the only realistic option, targeting Key. Shane Jones, Labour's spokesman on regional development, chose Stephen Joyce, whose responsibilities include promoting economic growth in the regions. With his mind loaded with jokes, Key had one objective: to show who is the boss regardless of who becomes Labour's next leader. Robertson focused on National's unemployment record. Key's best rejoinder came when contestant number one, as Key labelled him, asked Key how many New Zealanders were out of work. Key replied by saying the labour market was very fluid. That sounds like a great politician answer, don't you think? Last week, one person lost his job. Now there are three people looking for it, he said to hoots of laughter from colleagues. Yeah, three people applying for one job. That's real hilarious, isn't it, Mr. John Key, in your million-dollar mansion in Parnell there, which I've seen, and we'll be visiting soon to Bullhorn when the cops aren't around to stop me. With a couple of other activists who you've really fracked over. You know, you freaking scumbag. I really hate these people. You know, they just got no respect for anybody. They don't care. They're so far removed from the reality on the street of this country that it's beyond a joke. Okay, it's not funny, Mr. Key. You're not funny. You're just a douche. When Robertson finished, National MPs held up scorecards giving him marks of 1 or 2. Presumably out of 10. Speaker David Carter quickly put a stop to it, but this was never going to be one of Parliament's more edifying afternoons. Indeed, Cunliffe's turn was greeted by National MPs waving their arms triumphantly above their heads in the same fashion as the Newland MP after confirming he was joining the race to be leader. Now, appeal to ridicule. This is a logical fallacy, isn't it? And have you noticed how the National Party acts like a whole bunch of schoolchildren? No, I mean, really. They've been headed up by Bully Key and Bully Bennett and a whole bunch of other, you know, just they all look like psychopaths to me. Honestly, they're douchebags. I once went to a Young Nats meeting that was even hosted by one of my cousins, John Eastwood, same namesake as my father. And they were just like, oh my God, it's like, you know, when you walk into a room and you feel really uncomfortable because people have made you feel really uncomfortable because they're just wrong, you know, like they're wrong in the head. They're wrong in so many freaking ways that your body actually just reacts and goes, oh, these people make me feel sick. And they and I kept talking, and, you know, we were having conversations, and they just kept walking away from me. And I was like, well, hold on a second. Am I not welcome here? And, you know, my cousin tells me, you know, oh, we, this is kind of like a private thing, and blah, 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 you know, we don't really want the kind of people who are here shouting from the rafters. Shouting from the rafters? I was just here having a perfectly reasonable conversation, wasn't doing anything nasty or offensive or anything like that. You're all just a bunch of scum, aren't you? Really? That's what they all are. All of these young gnats, they're scum. They're silver spoon in the mouth. I worked hard to get where I am. Yeah, after huge quantities of support from your wealthy ass parents who actually worked hard to what they have. You're given everything that you got. And they think because they've got everything that they can look down on everybody else and treat them all like trash and be bullies, you know, and exclude anybody they don't want. Never listen to anything that's different to what they think. And sure enough, they make great politicians. Isn't that what you need in a politician? Somebody who doesn't listen to anybody? Somebody who just, you know, ignores different opinions that matter? By this stage, Key was unstoppable. When Cunliffe referred to Nationals legislation which will make it harder for trade unions to negotiate collective contracts, Key turned the question back to Cunliffe by noting the unions had a big say in who would become Labour's next leader. Neither Robertson nor Cunliffe landed a hit on Key, but they held their ground. And that's why we call him Teflon John. All right? Nothing gets through. This guy's so freaking slick. He's a smiling assassin. You know how he got the name Smiling Assassin? I spoke to a girl one time at a party. Her father worked with John Key in Wall Street. John Key fired 200 people in a day. Okay? 200 people, one after the other, coming out of John Key's office, bawling their eyes out. Have their livelihoods destroyed, don't know how they're going to support their families, no golden handshake, no golden parachute, no nothing, they're all gone. And John Key walks out, smiling from ear to ear, because that's how he gets you. Gives you a big old grin, and then slips the knife in between your ribcage. That's what he's doing. Jones was a disappointment. He aimed some tame questions at Joyce, but gets a chance to redeem himself this afternoon when he and his fellow quote-unquote contestants can put another question to a minister. This time, Jones must choose Key for his bid for his party's top job to remain credible. You know, I really don't care about a lot of the news stories that get covered. It's just kind of like childish fun poking. really at the end of the day. Speaking of childish fun poking, intelligence service on hunt for new director, and here's the old spokesperson for the intelligentsia in New Zealand. Incidentally, it's practically CIA funded. Intelligence Service on hunt for new director. The spy agency charged with protecting New Zealand from, quote, violent extremism and espionage. Oh, well, hold on a second. Now, don't you find it ironic that a company, sorry, a government department, wait, maybe that was a Freudian slip there, charged with protecting the country from violent extremism and espionage are the ones who condone most of the violence and run most of the espionage? Who'd be better? I mean, have I gotten wires crossed here? Am I wrong? No, I don't freaking think so. The New Zealand Security Intelligence Service, SIS, is advertised for a new director, highlighting the need to, quote, build trust in the intelligence and security sector. Oh my god. He wasn't joking. He actually wants to build trust in the intelligence and security sector. I'm sorry. I can't help it. Oh my god, that's funny. Oh, Oh, God. Okay, I'm going to count down just a week. Okay, let's try to get a grip. The service's role is to investigate threats to New Zealand and give them a job. Protect the country from foreign spies and to give them passports, especially if they're Israeli, and to spy on other countries while they spy on us and then share information with them because it's illegal to spy on your own citizens, but not anymore under the GCSB bill, of course. It has a more feet-on-the-ground approach to intelligence than the Government Communications Security Bureau, the GCSB, which I just alluded to, which just had electronic surveillance powers extended to allow it to spy on New Zealanders. Okay, so at the same time that they give one government department the ability to spy on everybody and everybody's emails, they're also looking for a new director of the hands-on-the-ground kind of people who actually go in and order wax on people and so on and so forth, because they need people to be able to trust the intelligence and security sector. I smell a rat. A big, scary rat. The Bureau was recently embarrassed when caught illegally spying on internet tycoon Kim.com for the police. And 88 others, mind you. New Zealand Herald, you censoring, omission-ridden frickin' filth. The NZSIS position, it's the State Intelligence Services, it kind of like our, like if the GCSB is the NSA of New Zealand, and the SIS is probably the CIA. And the difference between the NSA and the CIA is the NSA have all the great toys and goodies and so on and so forth, but the CIA are the ones who commit all the crimes, set up all the shell corporations, import all the drugs and so on and so forth. You know, they're the boots on the ground kind of guys. And the NSA just, you know, kind of sit back, you know. That's why in Mexico they call them the NSA. The NZSIS position description revealed that the ripples of the illegal spying affair continue, with the incoming director told to make sure the issues raised in the GCSB did not reflect problems against the intelligence sector. Okay, so dig this. We're afraid that it might appear that we're a bunch of corrupt scum, so what we're going to do is just change the corrupt scumbag who's actually leading the sector in order to convince everybody that, oh, we've got different corrupt scum in now. It's no longer corrupt scum. The job ad also forecast more cooperation with the GCSB. So at the same time, they vacate a position and they try to tell the person what we're trying to do is distance ourselves from the GCSB and their illegal activities, which we just made legal, in order to give the intelligence and security sector more credibility and stuff like that. We want to distance ourselves from that while working closely together with them. For frack's sake! Is it blatant? It's just so in your face now, isn't it? What are we going to do? The position comes vacant with the retirement of Dr. Warren Tuckett, a constant figure in intelligence and security services over the past 30 years. Man, I'd love to get him on the show and sign a full confession, you know, figure out what the frack has been going on in this country for the last 30 years. Because 30 years is basically like the last 30 years have been the worst 30 years in this nation's history. Incidentally, it's the only 30 years that I've been alive in this nation's history. A spokesman for Prime Minister John Key paid tribute to Dr. Tucker, saying, quote, he has made a significant contribution to the country's security and intelligence sector, for what the Prime Minister is very grateful. The last vacancy in the security services was the GCSB director's job, filled by current director Ian Fletcher in February 2012. So they just, you know, appointed a new person. And guess who appointed him? You get it. The John Key Prime Minister. The appointment of Mr. Fletcher caused scandal when it emerged he was known to the Prime Minister from school. Oh my God. Oh my God. Okay. Oh, crap. This country is so freaking corrupt, man. Like, honestly, people think that New Zealand is like land of milk and honey, like it ain't corrupt, like it ain't full of evil mafioso pieces of trash like walking around who own the courts, own the police, own the government, own all the companies and everything that run this place. Holy cow, it is that so much. Oh, my God. Oh my God, this country is so fracked. I just don't see anybody doing anything about it. You know, well, actually, I do see people doing stuff about it all the time. But they're writing letters. They're staging little protests. And they're not making YouTube videos. They're not going after the public. It's just we're in deep freaking trouble here. And all of the previous methodologies that we're trying to work just ain't working, okay? All the legal channels and everything that we've been given to fight against scumbaggery in this country are basically useless, you know? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You know, when they pass a piece of draconian legislation, they ask for the public to write submissions. Yes, submit to us. And then people submit, and then they wonder why the legislation didn't get changed at all and why they just rode roughshod over them. Because all you did was submit to them, bro. What do you think the word submission means? Why do you think they ask for your submission before they pass bills? I mean, come on. It's right there in front of your face. They don't care. Just freaking evil scumbags is what they are. It's just, oh, my God. And the fact that Fletcher, good dude, is like one of John Key's mates from freaking school. And then he appoints him to be head of the GCSB, like a year before they pass this GCSB bill to spy on all New Zealanders. I mean, it's just the corruption could not be clearer. It emerged Mr. Key had reached out to Mr. Fletcher to ask him to interview for the position after being unable to fill the role. It's like you come across a whole bunch of people. Hey, Mr. Key, how's it going? Hey, mate, I need you to be the head of a draconian spy organization that has offices from the NSA in its building. And they go, like, whoa, why do you want me to do that? Oh, just to spy on New Zealanders, anybody that threatens our agenda kind of thing, so we can, you know, target them, red flag them for analysis and eliminate them if absolutely necessary. You know, just take them out of the game, especially if my corporate buddies in Hollywood tell me to do so. In the case of Kim.com, a whole bunch of people say, "Nah, bro, I don't really want to take the heat for that kind of thing." He's like, "Okay, I'll just ask one of my old schoolmates." Hey, Mr. Fletcher. He's like, "Yeah, bro, I've got a favour to ask you." You know, all too happy to oblige. Mr. Fletcher's appointment was seen as a shift to the future from the GCSB's military-bound, bunkered roots. Yep. Well, I'm sure all of us are going to be military-bound and quite rooted soon, aren't we, Mr. Key? Thank you very much. We'll be right back after the break. 218-339-8525. Call in if you can. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week, and all the archives can be accessed at TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com. If you go to the homepage there, you should be able to find the last 2 days of archives, as well as the links to the full pages of archives for every single show we have done so far this year. And if you want to donate or make a subscription for a couple of dollars a month through PayPal or the bank account or whatever you really want to, please do so, because this show is entirely listener supported. There is no possibility any massive evil corporation would ever fund something like this. Okay, we're trying to have fun. We're trying to give people information, and we're trying to have a few laughs amidst all the scumbaggery. Who'd want to support that? The listeners. That's who. That's right. That's you. So go to TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com, click donate, or subscribe for just a few dollars a month, just so I've got that regular support. Because that way I don't have to worry about where my next meal's coming from, for one. The bank account's being dry this particular week. It's a real frustrating one, you know. I need some new shoes. I need some new pants. It's just, you know, wear and tear. If you're going out to protest every single week like I am and covering it like nobody else does and leading them and la-da-la-da-la-da-la, you know, I'm pretty integral. Maybe I'm up in my own importance, self-importance here, but at the end of the day, nobody else does what I do in this country, and it's sorely, sorely needed. And there's just no alternative. It's unfortunate. I am the alternative alternative. It's sad, isn't it? Speaking of alternative alternatives, let's talk about Peter Dunn. You ever heard of this guy? He's such a douche. I've ambushed this guy once before, actually. Spy law MP's target of hacktivist group. Shadowy band that closed GCSB website says it will expose the secrets of politician who passed controversial legislation. See, I didn't know that a hacktivist closed the GCSB website. Like, Dick, that's so funny. That is so funny. Like John Key comes up on the on the TV and says, oh, well, it's like a virus protector. Yeah, we're going to protect everybody from hackers and such and blah, blah, blah. You can't even protect your fracking selves. Serves you right. Oh, my God. And just like everything John Key says, he's a liar. He's a frickin' liar. Okay, I can't make it any clearer than that. How many times does somebody have to lie to you before you realize that they're a liar and you can't trust anything that they say? How many times do they have to lie to you once? Do they have to lie to you twice, thrice, or 7,000 times like John Key has before you start thinking, you know what, maybe this guy is a liar? Mr. Dunn said it was likely hacking and release of private information would lead to calls for the government to get tougher on security. So the reason why you're getting all of this stuff is because you tried to get tougher on security in a draconian way, and now when it's back on you, you're like, oh, well, we need to get even tougher in an even more draconian way, which will probably cause even more hacking and stuff like that. How about you just learn to freaking care about people a little bit and start asking them questions instead of secretly surveilling their Shiite Muslim? Politicians who were instrumental in the passing of the controversial GCSB law are being treated by an international hacker group. Treated by an international hacker group, you know, like salmon and sandwiches and so on, so forth, which wants to dump their secrets online. Oh, I can't wait for that. The anonymous group of hacktivists say they will give the politicians who voted the bill in the chance to prove they truly have nothing to hide and nothing to fear. In an interview with the Herald, carried out through encrypted chat services, an anonymous member named Prime Minister John Key, his deputy Bill English, and Attorney General Chris Finlayson as top of the hit list. United Future leader Peter Dunn and ACT leader John Banks were also named. Quote, releasing such personal information sends a message that they're not very hard to find. They aren't the only ones who can gather intelligence. The anonymous group has already conducted a successful strike against the government, knocking the GCSB website offline on Friday. The person speaking to the Herald claimed to be a New Zealander and to have coordinated the attack. The Herald contacted the person through two YouTube videos, which threatened action. The YouTube account was linked to Twitter messages sent to the MPs being targeted. Internationally, the anonymous group has caused havoc for corporations, governments, and other organizations with hack attacks and operations designed to overwhelm and shut down computer systems. They have been called both cyber terrorists and freedom fighters, attracting international law enforcement action and arrests by the FBI. The group maintains it can continue in spite of the arrest, using the slogan, "We are Legion," and saying it has no central body. Which, of course, makes it prone to infiltration by intelligence agencies and also makes it really good because whenever they attack anybody in officialdom can use those attacks as a great excuse to basically restrict and destroy people's access to the internet again. you know, counterintelligence is a complicated business. What you got to do is claim that you're working for the side that you're not really working for, and then do things which benefit the other side that you claim that you're attacking. Boom. Nice one. Whether or not Anonymous is actually a real group of people, and, you know, I'm of many minds about this. I don't know. Is Anonymous some kind of a psyop to be used by government and all other scumbaggery agencies in order to demonize anybody who uses the internet for quote-unquote nefarious purposes, i.e. freedom purposes? Maybe. Haven't seen the documents to prove it. Is this group freaking easy to infiltrate because all you have to do is have a bloody ISP blocker and claim you're anonymous? Yeah, that's real easy to infiltrate. So any government agent could easily get in there, and because there's no central leadership or anything like that, if Anonymous comes out and attacks somebody, who's there to say, hey, look, this isn't an official Anonymous attack? Then how would you know? Because there's no official leadership, is there? The Anonymous member said the denial of service attack on Friday, which took down the GCSB website, was a distraction for an attack which secured secret data. The action has been driven by the passing of the new GCSB law. Quote, it's an unadulterated violation of human rights, constitutionally illegal, and an invasion of the people's privacy. John Key is weak for giving it to the United, or giving in, sorry, to the United States. John Key was sent here by the United States. And here's the thing. I also get really fracked off when people, and if people do this all the time in New Zealand, Americans listening, they hate you. All right? They hate you, hate you, hate you. They say, Americans do this, Americans do that, Americans are stupid, Americans blah, 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 blah. They don't even know what it is to be American. They don't even know what freedom or liberty is. They know nothing about the good, decent, honest, hardworking, truther Americans out there who know about all of this stuff, who aren't freaking retarded, who don't shovel down McDonald's like there's no freaking tomorrow, okay? And see, this is the problem. America is being destroyed by design. All the people are now seen by the rest of the world as just these fat, lazy, stupid slobs who are just incapable of doing anything, let alone tie their own shoelaces, let alone run foreign policy. And then the other symbol of America that people are very well familiar with is the corporations. You know, oh, corporate big business and so on and so forth. And they blame you, the American people, for all of this. I guess you are to blame to an extent, but that's not a representation of all the people in America. And my mate was even telling me this the other day, and I said, bro, watch this documentary. And we're sitting there, we're watching a documentary, and we hear all this incredible dialogue, like, wow, that's amazing, wow, that's amazing, that's incredible, that's really exposing the agenda, and these people are really intelligent, these people are qualified, these people are actually care about their country, these people are patriotic. And I go, those are the real Americans, bro. All the other ones that you're talking about, all these vacuous valley girl trash that couldn't do a financial calculation, past balancing their own frickin' checkbook, they're not real Americans. They're just slaves that the New World Order has created via their propaganda, via their posterity, and via their scumbaggery. Okay? They're not real Americans. Sure. They were born in America, but that doesn't make them real Americans. You know what I'm saying? You know what the difference is? Real American actually cares about their country to the point where they would really consider fighting and dying for it. Really consider it. And many have already done already. But for the right reasons. Not to attack Iraqis or any other denomination that the government tells you to attack, but to, in fact, defend actual freedom. Defend actual liberty, to indeed be a nice person, offer food to your guests in your house, so to speak. You know, I just really feel sad that a lot of New Zealanders think this way about my American brethren. It's pretty sad, man. It's actually quite disgusting, really. because it's all pitting us all against each other. You know, we're really not against each other. You know what we're all really against at the end of the day? Groups like the New World Order, the Trilateral Commission, Council on Foreign Relations, Club of Rome, all these big, massive, evil climate change legislation, government surveillance, things of this nature, which we all have an interest in resisting and destroying because it's just too dangerous to just let them go free, isn't it? These people will kill all of us eventually if they're given half the chance. You know, frack, we're all being killed already. Thank you, Fukushima. Involvement in the attack risked jail, and when told this, the person said, you sign up to the army, you get deployed in Afghanistan, there is always a risk of getting killed, but it's a risk they are willing to take for their country. A GCSB spokesman confirmed the attack, saying no moves were underway to find the culprit and there was no record of data being taken. Oh. Just, that's such BS. I mean, come on. Government department gets hacked and you're not even trying to find the guy who did it and you deny that there's any evidence taken. Lying scumbag. I guess their spokesperson is really good at PR. Mr. Key had no comment. However, Mr. Dunn said it was likely hacking and release of private information would lead to calls for the government to get tougher on security. Yeah, by all the slave scum New Zealanders who just go, oh, well, I trust John Key. I trust the government. We're in for another election cycle next year. I don't know about you, but I'm so tired. I'm so tired of elections. The frack is the point. You know, I mean, I know that the Nats, as I call them, are going to win. I know this. How do I know this? It's just call it intuition. Okay? No matter what mud you throw at this John Key guy, nothing sticks to him. Nothing. He can take away your rights to privacy, people still vote for him. He can open up the parks for mining, people still vote for him. He can sell out the country to international movie interests, people still vote for him. He can authorize illegal spying on prominent New Zealand businessmen, people still vote for him. He can cut funding to public schools and give them to private schools, people still vote for him. He can increase unemployment, people still vote for him. He can decrease support for people on the benefits or whatever. People still vote for him. He can make international treaties and sign us up to NATO without anybody even knowing about it, and people still vote for him. He can put in more tax increases than any other prime minister in frickin' history while claiming while he's coming in that he's there to eliminate taxes. People still vote for him. You can't make a fracking thing stick to this guy. I really am quite... What's the word? I don't think it's disillusioned. Because I wasn't operating under any illusion that this mother fracker was telling anything akin to the truth from day one. But maybe it's like... when you've been fighting for so long, exposing X amount of scumbaggery for such a period of time, that even after two election cycles, you've been yelling and screaming at the top of your voice, still nobody listens. You get really disheartened. We'll be right back after the break at the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. Don't you go anywhere, folks. Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Call-in lines are open, 218-339-8525. I'll take callers if more than a couple call in. But other than that, we have an article to finish reading. It's just one more line. Asked if he had information he'd rather keep hidden. Let's talk about Peter Dunn, by the way, regarding the GCSB and the hackers trying to put out sensitive information of scumbags who passed this freaking iniquitous bill. He said, "I'm not sure. There may be things, but I'm not sure where they are located." Yeah, okay, so you don't know where your own dirty laundry is located, Mr. Dunn. Okay, I'll tell you what. It's located in your freaking coffers. The amount of money that you have taken from alcohol and tobacco lobbyists over the years in order to bind successive governments into never talking about the legalization of cannabis is, I think, a good place to start. You corrupt, payoff-taking crapper. I wish I could swear on this broadcast. Honestly, I really don't like that guy. All right? It's nothing personal. He's just evil. You know? Maybe that is personal. Frack it. I don't like him. All right. Cunliffe, job ready. And Labour's obvious choice. I happen to agree with that. I've spoken to Cunliffe outside a little thingy. David Cunliffe, by the way, the head of the Labour Party here in New Zealand, right? And he's the MP for Newlyn, and that's like just down the road from me or whatever. And he's managed to get in this new rail station and bus depot and so on and so forth. The whole place has got these massive new developments, new shopping mall type layout and what have you, better parking, so on and so forth. All of which has just made the traffic worse, strangely enough. But so, you know, no doubt he's got perfect qualities to be the next opposition leader who won't get elected. You know, sorry about that, David. I'm just incredibly cynical. All right, I'm just incredibly cynical about Labour, about National, about the ACT Party, about United Future, about every single frickin' party in this parliament, save maybe New Zealand First and the Mana Party. You know, the only reason why New Zealand First and the Mana Party get my tick is because they actually do what they say they're going to do, and they actually get kicked out of parliament. Here's how you tell whether or not your MP gives a frack about what they're talking about. If they're willing to be kicked out of debates over it or walk out for something that they believe in, all right? Both Mana and New Zealand First have done that. No other party I have seen does that. They're too freaking cowardly. They love their freaking government salaries too blimmin' much. They love lying to people too much. They love the limelight too much to just leave it for the sake of having something called principles. You know why the government had to close its state schools? Because it didn't have any principles. That's right. David Cunliffe erupted onto our television screens on Monday night as though he'd just become Prime Minister. Not just decided to have another crack at the Labour Party leadership. Quote, "If he were a racehorse, you'd swab him," joked an old party veteran. Not for him, the simple press release or note to a reporter of his two rivals, wreathed in Polynesian lays and backed by caucus allies and adoring electorate supporters, he called the world to his electorate headquarters to declare himself back from the wilderness to which he'd been dispatched for checking the now fallen David Shearer. In fact, just after my show yesterday, it might have been the day before, my mate Jono called me and says, "Hey, bro, there's a big media circus down in Newlyn. You know, maybe you should get down there." And I couldn't be bothered. I guess this was what was going on. And I told him it would be in the media if there was such a fanfare about it. He claimed he to be a chastened, wiser, and more humble man for his time in purgatory, cue wild cheering. Over the top it was, but it also brought to mind the expression former leader Helen Clark had used behind the scenes during Labor's last leadership contest in December 2011. Job ready to Ms. Clark, Mr. Cunliffe was job ready, and Mr. Shearer wasn't. Why, that's... Maybe it was Mr. Shearer hadn't spent enough time in the UN for Helen Clark's liting. And now, see, you know what Helen Clark's doing right now? She's a former Prime Minister in New Zealand. She was like Prime Minister for like 9 years. And back in during the 80s, she was like one of the leaders of the party. And basically, she was, she had virtual control over all the party. Everybody knew who the one who was holding all the cards for the Labour Party for the last 20 or 30 years was. It was Helen Clark. She had like this big, solid alliance. They were passing all this draconian legislation. While she wasn't even the head of the party back in the 80s and stuff like that. You know, this is a bad woman. This is a really scary woman. You ever seen her in person, bro? Oof, mate. She just irradiates this satanic energy. it's actually quite horrific and terrifying to behold. You know, the bulging eyes and sharp teeth. You know, over the top it was. Oh yes. Now it was advice the Labour caucus chose not to take. Mr. Cunliffe had rubbed too many of them up the wrong way over the years. Instead, they took a punt on the new mystery man, David Shearer, who promoted, mercenaries to be used in African conflicts instead of actually sending troops in when it's talking about when he should be, in fact, trying to stop the major corporations from stealing all the money and bribing all the frickin' dictators in these African countries so that their countries can actually have some form of prosperity and freedom. Frax. Mr. Shearer had entered Parliament just over 2 years before, following a by-election to replace the retiring Ms. Clark in Mount Albert. He came from a stellar 20-year career leading humanitarian activities for the United Nations in world trouble spots, including North Africa and the Middle East. You know, this is nice, isn't it? He's leading humanitarian activities like promoting mercenaries, like Blackwater. That's a humanitarian activity now, by the way. His backers said he had the X factor to challenge national seemingly untouchable leader John Key. He's still untouchable. He practically won the X factor. He's that untouchable. It was never made clear what this miraculous X factor was. I quipped at the time that seeing a savior from the East was highly topical, it being the eve of Christmas. But was it the right way to select someone to lead Labour back into office? It proved not. Whatever his talents, they didn't include any magical abilities to lure voters back to the Labour fold. Now, little more than a year out from the next general election, the pundit blog's poll of polls as of August 5th has Labour on 31.7%, nearly 16% behind National. And, you know, there's plenty of other parties in there, you know, like Greens are going to get like frickin' 10% or whatever. Party optimists argue that that's an improvement on the awful 27% of Labour's 2011 general election party vote. But Mr. Shearer was not fooled. Years of experience in the world's trouble spots had taught him when to get out, and so he did. I wonder why he got out of his other job and then went into politics only to get out again. Maybe 20 years is enough to realise that you're fighting an uphill battle against huge quantities of scumbaggery. With a general election looming, Labour is now in catch-up mode to bed in a new leader. Once again, it's a contest between job-ready Mr. Cunliffe, first elected to Parliament in 99 and with senior ministerial experience, and another trainee, this time Wellington Central MP Grant Robertson, elected to Parliament in 2008, or just a few months before Mr. Shearer. Also in the race is Shane Jones, who was already admitted he's a back-of-the-field wildcard. Obviously, Mr. Robertson is a political high-flyer, selected despite being another newbie by his colleagues as Mr. Shearer's deputy. But does Labour have the time before the poll to introduce the rest of New Zealand to a leader largely unknown outside the Wellington Beltway? No, they don't. Despite Mr. Cunliffe's past, quote, crimes of arrogance and not suffering his fools gladly, he says his time in the wilderness was transmogrified him into a more humble being. He is an instantly identifiable character on the political stage. He has a respected ministerial record and needs no introductions. For Labour, I would have thought that this is vital. It doesn't have time to waste blooding in another new face. 5 years into the Key government, Labour continues to find it difficult to take advantage of the natural dissatisfaction of incumbent government attracts. Labour couldn't even reap the benefits of the widespread protests against the GCSB Act. Green co-leader Russell Norman became the media opposition spokesman as though by default. Of course, Labour needs more than a change of political leadership to reverse its fortunes. It also needs a campaign plan that both emphasises the need for party supporters not to split their vote and targets the 800,000 or so registered voters who in 2011 did not even vote because, guess what, every single poll said there's no point in voting because National's going to win. And it's the lowest voter turnout since 1886, when even women weren't allowed to vote. In 2011, Labour ran a one-tick campaign emphasising electoral candidates at the expense of the leader. Then Phil Goff and party, the other major parties, all promoted the leader and their party brand. The outcome was inevitable. Labour's share of the party vote, which decides the proportion of seats in Parliament, dropped to 27%, although Labour's candidates collected 35% of the candidate vote. In other words, nearly a quarter of those voting for a Labour candidate cancelled out their vote by giving their party vote to the Greens or New Zealand First or whoever. The first step in reversing this drift away from the party brand is to select a leader who voters instantly link with the brand. Of the two front runners, there's one obvious choice. And that would, of course, be David Cunliffe. Hmm. All right, great. Now we've got an old face who's going to be the new face of a party that's old and dead, and will betray the country just like every other single one of them. Good on you, New Zealand. We'll see you again sometime at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.